You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Keenan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, you guys hear him throughout the season on the Chiefs radio network and during the NFL season on Players Only here on 96.5 The Fan. He's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Dana, we were, of course, talking about the offensive coordinator opening that the Chiefs currently have with Matt Nagy's contract expiring. And every day, seemingly, there's a new name that becomes a possibility. It's Cliff Kingsbury getting let go by the Commanders. Today, it's, you know, Mike McDaniel getting fired by the Dolphins. What do you think they need in an OC, knowing that their head coach is likely still to keep the play calling?
Yeah, that's a tough dynamic when you have a head coach with the resume of Andy Reid. I mean, how much would he be willing to hand over to an incoming new OC? And sometimes the successes that you experience kind of make you a little bit jaded towards being open to new ideas and new people. So, and I think that's human nature, guys. It's not a knock towards Andy Reid,
sure,
but when you've had the successes of 7 straight AFC championships, appearances, and 5 Super Bowls and 3 Super Bowl wins, like, let's think from a human perspective. If you guys and your radio show was number one in the country 5 of the last 7 years, like, how much input would you take from Speck or somebody else as far as somebody new coming in?
It just very little, Danan. That's the truth. Very
exactly.
little.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, this is not, like, something that's abnormal. But I feel like if you are going to say that Patrick Mahomes is going to begin and end his career in Kansas City, then he has to be a part of the decision-making in regards to the offensive coordinator, as well as being involved in the wide receiver coach with Connor Embry being fired. So I think it's got to be an all-encompassed, collective kind of dynamic when you bring Brett Veach in and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, because from a running back standpoint, from a wide receiver standpoint, from a continuity offensively, if you listen to the broadcast, now pregame shows, and me on Players Only, which the last show will be tonight, you will hear me have some critique about wide receivers that were not successful outside the numbers. And I think that's got to be at the front of the new OC and the new wide receiver's mind, with in conjunction with Patrick Mahomes. Hey, how do we get wins outside the numbers? Because every other team knows how to do it, and we haven't been successful in that. And then how do we get the running game going? Because as much as we would like, and I've listened to you guys' show, I listened to Dusty and Fesco all week, as much as we would like to say improvement in the running game, and I'm not saying that that's not the case, that it's not necessary, we also have to factor the simple thing that I've said for the last 5 years on the broadcast. Every time Patrick Mahomes hands the ball off, the best player in the league does not have the ball. So as an OC and a head coach, you have to decide how often you want that dynamic to happen. And that's a tough, tough situation to have to deal with when you have the best quarterback in the league, especially when he's healthy. So I think everybody just needs to be on the same accord and make sure that they go into 2026 with the same like-minded approach. Hey, we are all in this together. We're going to fix it, have a way we can fix it. But those are specific areas I think they need to be addressed.
Danan, to your point on the, like, you wouldn't change much, Alex and I have made a big point about that. It's like, up to this season, why would you think some part of your process wasn't working when you had attended 5 of 7 Super Bowls and obviously went to 3 in a row, even if you didn't win all of those? But it's like the wake-up call nature of it. Andy doesn't make big moves like moving on from offensive coordinators unless he thinks big things got in the way of what happened. And so do you think there's any other big move on the horizon? Like, do you think, because I think moving on from Dave Tobe is, even though it's a special teams coordinator, they're boys. I think if like something like that happened, that would suggest that Andy realized that there were major issues this previous season.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that. I think Dave Tobe is still one of the top special teams coaches in the NFL. He's the assistant head coach for a reason, which tells you a lot about their relationship. And I'm a former player, so I'm always going to lean towards, when it's all said and done, the player has to do their job. So during the season, we were critiquing Harrison Butker. We can't blame Dave Tobe for that. He's the only kicker on the roster. He has to go out there and do his job. The onus is on the player. Now, you may want to say, okay, some of the holding penalties, how do you get away with that? But holding is up all around the league. Every single game we watch on kickoff coverage and kickoff return, you see multiple holding penalties. It's based on the dynamic kickoff rule that I just don't think players have been as good at addressing and adjusting to as they were in previous times. So, like, I like Dave Tobe. I like his approach. I think he's had success in this league. There's just a component that players have to get better. And I think we have a good core of young talent with Jeffrey Bosa, Cooper McDonald, Kevin Knowles, Noel Williams, that I think can stabilize the special teams unit, where I don't think it should cost him his job.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, here on 96.5 The Fan. We don't know how anything's going to play out with the allegations, I understand, that are out there with Rashee Rice. But how do you feel about the wide receiver offseason plan? A, assuming he is still available, and if he were not to be available, does that mean at number nine, it's almost has to be a wide receiver, in your opinion?
Ah, man, I don't know if number nine has to be a wide receiver, because I'm still leaning towards defensive line. I need a game changer at the defensive line position. And if Chris Jones is going to be a guy that's going to tutor that guy and help bring him along, I mean, when you see the effects of guys like Jalen Carter, when they go and get two defensive linemen from Georgia and thrust them right into a lineup, how that automatically changes the whole dynamic of a defense. And if you're still kind of questioning what you're going to do with Trent McDuffie, you can have questions in the back end of a defense, as well as questions that consistently showed themselves this year on the front end. The front four have to figure out a way to get home. We cannot be just a blitzing team and lean on our defensive backs to make magical plays when the quarterback has extended amount of time. Like, that to me as the number one issue with this Chiefs team was the defensive front and their inability to get home, to disrupt passing games, and get out of third down situations. You look at this defense, they were 29th in the NFL in third down production. You can't, like, I don't care what's happening on the offensive side, special team side, third and 17, third and 9, third and 11, third and 18. Like, I'm thinking back to specific situations where we should have gotten off the field and we didn't. And it happened on numerous occasions. And if Chris Jones is going to be around, his production has declined, then we need to have somebody waiting in the bullpen that's going to be able to come in and take in that role. Think about when Chris Jones came into the league. You had, you know, aging Tom Bahali, you had Justin Houston that was around, and you had guys that you could basically hand the baton off to Chris Jones, a young Chris Jones, where he was able to come in, hit the ground running, and make a name for himself. Maybe this is the time where we have to look at that succession, or the succession plan for that defensive line position. Charles Omenihu didn't get it done. George Karlaftis, we signed a long deal for him. He's going to be around, but there needs to be somebody on the interior that's going to be able to pick up some of the slack and maybe reestablish the identity of this defense.
So I'm 1,000% with you on defensive line. Like, even 24 hours ago, I was like, no question, defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. I'm just trying to figure out, what the wide receiver room would look like if, and again, we have no idea how this is going to play out with Rashee Rice the rest of this offseason.
Yeah.
But if Travis Kelce were to retire and Rice weren't available, I mean, we're talking about Xavier Worthy and Jalen Royals, basically the only guys under contract that, and offensive weapons in the pass game.
Yeah, make no mistake, just because I went on that rant about the defensive line, I'm not saying anything about our wide receivers, and I'm not trying to, just because I'm a former wide receiver, I'm not in protective mode about wide receivers. Connor Embry, as you guys mentioned, I don't call for people's jobs, but I think you guys were very clear, and so was Fesco and Dusty earlier. The guys that we've had have not developed. And if that just in itself means that you have to move away from the wide receiver coach and get somebody else in, I think that is definitely a key. What we've seen from Xavier Worthy, I don't want to go another year where it seems like he's a one-trick pony, where it's either a deep ball perfectly thrown, where he's either going to make a catch or draw a penalty, or if he's going to be a jet sweep guy or shallow cross guy or crossing route guy. Like, I want to see wide receivers that win on the outside. And I think when you look at the landscape of this season, specifically defenses trying to defend our wide receivers, they didn't really have to worry about outside the number of production. They just had to worry about passing off crossing routes and all the window dressing that the offense presented with our wide receivers and linebackers coming into play with safeties also. So getting a taller, more rangy guy that you can throw up deep balls to, back shoulder throws in the red zone, hitch routes, all the things that we saw from like the CD Lambs and the George Pickens and, you know, the wide receiving crew, the Mims Jr. And from the Denver Broncos. Like, we need to see that become a staple, not just an aspect of our offense, but a staple of our offense. But I agree. Like, if Rashee Rice's issues off the field are all true, then he's not with the team next year. Like, I get it. This second chance, this would be a second chance. This would be the most egregious second chance that he would have failed at in regards to domestic violence. And you have to move along from that. And going from a draft of Xavier Worthy in the first round, Rashee Rice in the second round, Sky Moore in the third round, and none of those guys becoming your number one bona fide threat, I don't know if you go back to the draft for the first or second round. You definitely go back to the draft again, but maybe the second round or third round, and you got to go get an established vet because you need that immediate impact. It can't be a growth process with another young talent.
Danon, who do you like in the playoffs coming up on Saturday? Now I'm kind of curious where you stand on the AFC and NFC side. We did our root against and root for index, like the people you would most likely cheer for and the teams you'd cheer against. Alex was against the Bills, Eagles, and Broncos. Broncos number one in his. And then I also had the Patriots. I don't want to see them win anymore. Was on my side as well. Who are you root? I mean, who do you actually think wins, I guess, on the NFC and AFC side?
So I think because of the history of the Chiefs, PR, coaching, and front office tree going to Chicago and having some friends up in Chicago and it being such a long drought for them, I think from a NFC perspective, I'm leaning on the Bears, I think. From the AFC, that's tough because there was a part of me that was like, okay, if it's not the Chiefs, I guess the Bills. And I say that so begrudgingly. I say that like from the pit of my stomach, like, I guess. But then as we move more towards this weekend, I'm like, screw the Bills. Like, I don't want them to win. Like,
right.
So I'm having this tug of war going on in my head from an AFC perspective. And I feel like I'm leaning more towards the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just feel like they've done it the right way. They beat us the right way. They have shown themselves to be the up-and-coming, and Trevor Lawrence has really done a fine job becoming an MVP candidate when there was so much on his shoulders and so much critique leading up into this season. Like, somebody new like that, I feel like that would be the warm, fuzzy story, and I can go along with that if I had to.
Do you like, I guess, you know what? I will take a Bears-Jags Super Bowl. That feels very not pressure-packed.
Harmless? Is that what you're
harmless.
Saying?
Yeah.
Harmless.
Yeah. Harmless.
Harmless Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If we're not in it, if the number one team in the world is not in it, in the Kansas City Chiefs, then having those two in it, like, that would be kind of apropos for the year. That would like, put a full exclamation point on the 2025 season.
Look, I don't think Sean McDermott is terrible, but I also want him to win one game so he doesn't get fired. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want him to lose Saturday or whenever they're playing and get fired potentially, because there's a lot of speculation about that, and then they go and get a new head coach. And I kind of like what I've seen with the limitations with Sean McDermott.
When I tell you that I, like, there's this strange kind of split in my brain right now where part of me kind of wants to go along with you, but the other part of me is like, screw the Bills. Like, I don't care about them. Like, they can spiral downward and I could care less. We have to go there in their new stadium next year already, so we already know that. Western New York, I have no affinity for. I get it.
That's right. You're a Jersey guy.
Yeah, I get your points, but at the same time, I'm like, nah.
Dane, and Cody forgot to tell you that of the three teams he's rooting against, the Broncos were not in there. So
they were fourth.
Gordon and I think that Denver, Cody might be a closet Broncos fan.
It's not true.
Oh, no. We can't have that.
Dane, and it's not true.
It's disgusting is what it is.
We cannot have anybody in the Chiefs kingdom even formulating their hands together to clap for the Denver Broncos in this playoff.
Chiefs are out of the playoffs, and now salacious rumors are being started.
You said you have family ties to Denver, man. You said you had family ties to Denver.
It's true.
That's not acceptable. Anyway, Dayton, tonight, 6 o'clock, final players only, right?
Yes, sir. Final players only. We'll put a bow on the season, talk about these coaching situations. I got some really cool audio from Andy Reid in the post-game interview that I had after the Raiders that I think is more than football, that I'll air, as well as Harrison Butker post-game interviews, and then we'll take some calls. So we'll have a fun time as we possibly can to end this season. How about that?
There we go. We'll be listening. Thanks, Danon.
All right.